Canto 11, Chapter 11. Bondage and Liberation Explained, and the Devotional Service of the Saintly Person. The Supreme Lord said, "One cannot really say that one is bound or liberated here due to my modes. To be in the grip of the natural qualities or to be free from them is not caused by my illusory energy. There is lamentation, bewilderment, happiness, distress, and the acceptance of a material body because of illusion. Material life, with its successive states, is merely an idea of the soul just as unreal as a dream is. Please, Uddhava, understand that knowledge and ignorance are two forms of myself that, as a result of my original potency, give rise to the liberation and bondage of the embodied beings. The bondage of the living entity, which is part and parcel of my oneness, O great intelligence, is there since time immemorial because of ignorance, and the opposite of liberation is there because of knowledge. Let me now, my dearest, dilate on the different characteristics of the opposing nature of being conditioned and being liberated, an opposition that is found in one and the same practice. Two birds of a similar nature and friends of each other one day make a nest in a tree. One of them eats from the fruits of the tree, while the other does not eat, even though he is the strongest of the two. The one not eating the fruits of the tree is conscious and knows both himself and the other one, while the one that eats does not have a clue. The latter is always bound, while the one full of knowledge is eternally liberated. Although engaged in a body, an enlightened person does not abide by the body, like having risen from a dream. A foolish person abides by the body even though he is not the body itself, like seeing a dream. Someone not enlightened is invariably obliged to the false ego that thinks in accord with the senses directed by the gunas and the sense objects generated by the modes. The ignorant soul, who thus, by fate ordained, was caught here in this body because of his, by the gunas generated karmic activities, thinks, "I am the doer." An intelligent person is not bound that way. Wherever he goes, rests, sits, walks, bathes, sees, touches, smells, eats, hears, and so on, he remains detached from the qualities he experiences. Though being situated in the material world, he, turned away from its ruling powers and assisted by the most expert and in detachment sharpened vision, cuts with all doubts. Just as the sky, the sun and the wind do not attach themselves, he neither attaches to the variety of matters, the duality of the world, like he has awakened from a dream. The person, whose functions of the life breath, senses, mind and intelligence are free from desires, is liberated, despite being situated in a body ruled by the natural modes. One's body is sometimes, for some reason, attacked by animals or destructive people, and sometimes one is worshipped by a lover or a follower. An intelligent person is never seriously moved when that happens. With an equal vision, having moved beyond the notion of good and bad, a wise man will neither praise those who are behaving very well or speaking excellently, nor criticize others who are acting or expressing themselves poorly. Someone satisfied within should live free from acting, without saying a word and not contemplating good or evil, and that way wander around like being dumb. When someone, well-versed in the Vedic literatures, is not absorbed in the Supreme, does not meditate or perform devotional service, the fruit of his effort, his work, will be like that of someone taking care of a cow that gives no milk. O Uddhava, he who takes care of a cow that gives no milk, an unchaste wife, a body fully dependent upon others, children without service, wealth wrongly spent, and speaks about Vedic knowledge without ever mentioning me, will suffer one misery after another. A wise person, my dear Uddhava, will not accept words or texts devoid of my purifying activities or desired appearances as lila avatars for the sake of the maintenance, creation, and annihilation of the world. When one, desirous of knowledge, thus gives up the misconception of a material diversity as existing separately from the soul, one should put an end to one's materialistic life and fix one's purified mind upon me, the all-pervading one. In case you are not able to steady your mind on the spiritual platform, then dedicate, not deviating from the regulative principles, all your actions to me without expecting anything in return. When one with belief listens to, sings about, and constantly remembers the narrations about my birth and activities that purify the entire world, and also enacts them dramatically, and thereto, for my sake, under my protection, regulates one's religiosity, sensual pleasure, and finances, one will develop an unflinching devotion unto me, the one eternal, O Uddhava. By the devotion as acquired in the satsanga association with devotees, someone very easily will be able to attain my refuge that those pure souls undoubtedly will show him. Sri Uddhava said, "What kind of person would, in your opinion, O Uttama Shloka, be a pure soul, and what sort of worship unto you would carry the approval of your honored faithful followers? Please speak about this to me, your surrendered devotee who loves you as his only shelter, O Master of the Universe, Supervisor of the World and Commander of the Person. You, the Supreme Truth and Spirit as unattached as the sky, the original person transcendental to material nature, are the Supreme Lord who, descending to the desire of your devotees, has accepted a diversity of forms." The Supreme Lord said, "When someone is merciful, causes no harm, is tolerant towards all embodied beings, is firmly anchored in the truth, an irreproachable soul, is equal-minded and helpful towards everyone, when someone is of an intelligence that is not disturbed by material desires, is of restraint, is soft-natured, pure-hearted, non-possessive, not worldly, eats little, is peaceful, steady, has me for his shelter, and is thoughtful. When someone is vigilant, a profound soul, of a firm resolve, has conquered the Shat-guna, offers respect, inspires, is friendly, compassionate and learned, when someone knows the qualities and shortcomings as taught by me, and, worshipping me, is even willing to give up all his religious preferences, he belongs to the best of the truthful souls. Whether someone knows or does not know what I am, who I am, or how I exist, when he is exclusively devoted to me, I count him among the best devotees. Seeing, touching, and worshipping my appearance in this world, my devotees render personal service and offer prayers of glorification and obeisance, to which they regularly sing about my qualities and activities. Hearing the topics about me, they always, with faith, meditate upon me, O Uddhava, and offer as servants in full surrender all that they acquire. Discussing my birth and activities, they take great delight in engaging with musical instruments and songs and dance, with discussions and festivals in my sacred houses. Sacrificing at all celebrations and annual festivities as mentioned in the Vedic literatures and their tantras, they observe vows and are of initiation in relation to me. With faithfully installing my deity, they endeavor, for themselves as also for others, by working for flower gardens, orchards, playgrounds, cities and temples. Sincere as servants, they serve me by thoroughly cleaning and dusting the house, the temple, washing it with water, sprinkling it with scented water and making mandalas. Modestly, without pride, not advertising their devotional service, they not even use for themselves the light of the lamps presented to me, and offer me articles most dear to them or most desirable in the material world. With that kind of offering, one qualifies for immortality. The sun, the fire, the Brahmins, the cows, the Vaishnavas, the sky, the wind, the water, the earth, the self and all living beings, my dearest, constitute the places of my worship. In the sun, one can find me by offering selected verses from the three Vedas. In fire, one finds me with oblations of ghee. One can find me as the best among the scholars when one worships me by offering them hospitality. With the cows, my dear, you reach me by means of offerings of grass and such. One finds me in the Vaishnavas by honoring them with loving friendship. I am found in the sky of one's inner space when one is fixed in meditation in the heart. In the air, one finds me by considering it the most important life-giving principle of prana. In water, one can find me by using articles of worship together with water. In the earth, one finds me with confidential mantras, and within the self, one can find me by offering food to the embodied soul. One may worship me as the knower of the field in all living beings by seeing me as equally present everywhere. Peacefully being absorbed in me, thus meditating these different places, one should be of worship for my transcendental form that is equipped with the conch shell, the disc, the club, and the lotus flower. Someone who with his mind fixed on me thus worships me with sacrificial performances and pious works as mentioned, obtains loving service unto me and has my remembrance of realized knowledge because of his fine service. O Uddhava, apart from the bhakti yoga realized through association with my devotees, there are no means that actually work, for I am the path of life, the refuge for the souls of virtue. And now, O child of the Yadus, I will speak to you who are willing to listen, even about the most confidential supreme secret of intimate association with me, for you are my servant, well-wisher, and friend.